Well, I'm thankful for the Lord. Thankful that He's always the same. Because of that, we have a great confidence, don't we? An anchor, a hope that holds us as an anchor to the soul, a confidence in Him. Thankful for it, for the privilege of being able to be called a son of God. Ask for your prayers. I have a scripture that the Lord has been challenging, talking to me about, and I pray that it'll be a challenge to us. I'd like to look in the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. I'd like to talk about fervent love this afternoon. Love is a force, a power. I've heard it said that it's the strongest force on earth. We've known of nations and dictators and rulers that have risen up and have tried to hold their people in fear. In fear of trying to escape, in fear of trying to think differently, and in fear of what might happen or what might befall them. Many people and many religious people in our world today, they serve their God only out of fear. And we understand and realize that we are to have a fear of God, the fear of the Lord upon our hearts. But so few people really know the power of what it is to really know love. Song of Solomon says that love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And that word jealousy, from what I understand the rendering of it there, is another word for love, expressing the ardency or the strong feeling of love. Know also that the Lord, He said, I am God. He said, I am a jealous God. But we know that He's a God of love and of a strong love that He has for His people. That He's not, and we tell our children sometimes when we discipline them, know that I love you. Know that I want to see the best for you. And I've heard, and I guess even as I was a child, if I didn't love you, what I would do is just let you go. Let you go on your way, let you have your will, let you go the way that you want to go. But there's a love or a jealousy. There's something there. I don't want to see you go the wrong way. It says jealousy is as strong as death. It has the most vehement flame. Scriptures warn us about in the Jesus, believe, book of Matthew, about the perilous times that we'll face. The love of many, iniquity abounding on every hand and all around us, and we see it, and the love of many is said waxing cold over the process of time. The love of many people, was it the letter unto Ephesus, I believe it was, that said, you've left your first love. And unto the Laodiceans, He spoke to them in another manner. It says you've become lukewarm. Maybe you had a love at one time, but something's happened to it. The fervor, the temperature of it is lukewarm. It's died down. I like wood heat. We have a wood stove. I enjoy stoking that up and getting a blazing fire in it and sitting around and enjoying that. But you start from a small flame. And if you let it go over the course of time, what happens to it? The flame begins to die out. So you have to go every once in a while and you stir it up and you work with it and maybe you blow on it a little bit and get a good flow of air across it. You know, our tendency as mankind is for a passion to grow cold. People in the world even, they'll find a hobby or they'll find something that they feel passionate about. And they'll pursue that with all that they have. And then that'll grow old and they'll try something else and they'll pursue that with everything they have. The world shows their passion, don't they? The world shows what they're passionate about. You see it in the stadiums that are filled with people. Where is their passion? It's not very hard to figure out. Not very hard to understand. Folks that enjoy hunting, as I do occasionally, that are willing to get up in all kinds of weather and conditions. They love what they're doing. You think someone could tell them, I'm going to force you now. You got to go out. You got to get up 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to drag you out of bed and go out in the cold. You wouldn't get any enjoyment out of it like that. But you put the element of love in it. You put the element, I want to go do it. It changes the whole perspective of the thing. The whole idea of it. Now it's not something that I'm bucking up against or that I'm doing out of obligation. We have those things. We have some of us to get up and go to work. Whether I feel the excitement of doing it or not, I have an obligation. We have an obligation to the Lord. We have an obligation one to another. But do you know it doesn't have to just be an obligation? It doesn't just have to be something that I have to do. Something that I know that I've got to love the Lord. It's not just something that I have to try to make. The Lord wants us to have a fervent love. Something that has a most vehement flame. And as sometimes, maybe if we're not careful, we begin to get like the ashes or the embers that get settled down. And you've got it. The Lord wants to come along sometimes and stir us up a little bit. The Lord spoke to the man, the lawyer, that came and questioned him. He said, Master, what is the great commandment? And he said, these two. First of all, you love the Lord your God. But he told him how to love him. With all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength, with everything that you have. That is a fervency. A fervent love. I want to give everything that I have into it. I want to love the Lord with everything that I have. I want it to be a hot flame. I don't want it to be just something lukewarm. I have an affection for, or in my mind, I have a preference for. But I want this to be that which compels me. You know what that word fervent means? You look into the Greek definition of it. It means a stretching forth. You know what stretches us out? For the Lord. You know what causes me to make a sacrifice for the Lord? What would cause me to say I'm willing to give up this old world? Yes, the fear of the Lord started me down that path. But thank the Lord for the love of God that compels me, that stretches me forth. It pulls me, it draws me ahead. Like a rubber band almost, you're pulling as strong as the... What was it the Lord said in one place about His people? He said, I have drawn them with cords of love. I've drawn them. I've tried to draw them unto myself. It's to be that, not that just goads and pushes and forces us every step of the way, but a love that is fervent and vehement within me, that compels me, that draws me. We think oftentimes about a subject like this. Maybe the new year is a good time for us to think about it. Lord, I want to be fervent. I want to have a fervent and a vehement love for You this year. I want to be able to keep it hot. I don't want to just start out with a hot flame and it dies out and there's just barely a flicker there. The Lord wants us to maintain our love, to guard our affections, to guard our hearts, to keep ourselves from the effect of the world and the environment around us. To keep our love fervent for the Lord. But you know, as this scripture bears out, what really has been standing out to me? You know what it says here in connection with fervent love? Love one another with a pure heart fervently. That vehement love that I feel, that fervent love that I maintain as we talk about the ashes and the embers that begin to grow cold. You know, if we're not careful and we don't maintain relationships, marriages can start to grow cold. Relationships one to another can start to grow cold. And the ones that mean the very most to me. You ever find this happening? I begin to take for granted. I begin to not appreciate to the degree that I should. I would tell you, yes, I still love them. We still love one another. But Lord, every once in a while, I need a rekindling. Lord, I want to maintain a fervency. It's a guard. against the world. When the enemy would come along with temptations of infidelity like is in the world, what better defense against the enemy than to have the grace of God within and to have the love of God flowing between us? That's vehement, that's fervent, that's alive. When I don't want it. I'm not interested. I have a fervent love. Whenever the enemy comes and he presents something to try to draw us to the world, no, I have a vehement love for the Lord. I love, it's why I'm here. What's the song? Oh, the glory. It says we do just what we want to and we go where we please. That's why I'm here today. It's why I'm here doing the things that I want to do. What my heart stretches me forth and compels me to do. And the exhortation here is that we have that same fervent love for one another. I'd like to look at the 13th chapter of John. This is a familiar passage of what Jesus said to His disciples. John 13. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I've thought about that scripture at different times, and I've wondered, whenever Jesus was talking to them and said, there's going to be a characteristic, there's going to be something whenever people look on you, and they see you, it's not going to be a banner that you wear. It's not going to be a sign that you hold, a bumper sticker on your car. It's not going to be the words that you say. But the thing that's going to convince this world, the thing that's going to stand out and distinguish. What does it take to distinguish something? It's different than everything else around it. Is it that much different? What we know, you know, the love that we have for one another. We hear sometimes someone will stand up and say in a time of grief or sickness, oh, I felt the love of the saints. I felt that, and I could say in a new way here a couple years ago, and the battle that we went through with Sister Karen, I have experienced the love of the saints poured out over and over and over. Not something that they seem to do just because I've got to do it. But the love that would compel, the concern, the cards, the calls, the visits, and on, that compelled them to help. What was it that Paul said? I therefore will most gladly spend and be spent. What is it that the Lord is looking for in His givers? He wants a cheerful giver. Not just out of responsibility or drudgery or I have to do it, but there is a vehement love within me. For one another, for my brethren, for each other that compels me to go the extra mile, that compels me to sacrifice of what I have. You know, I am convinced it is unique from the world. The world knows to an extent what love is. To an extent. But I want to look at a few verses to get a little bit of a flavor of what that kind of love is. Turn with me, if you would, to the 19th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 19, verse 4. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Verse 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man his friend is a friend to him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. Luke, the 6th chapter. Luke 6, verse 32. 31 says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the merciful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Even the sinners and the publicans know how to show love. They know how to sacrifice and to give of themselves. But what is it that we read there in Proverbs? Many will entreat the favor of a prince. Wealth and prosperity makes many friends. You want to make a lot of friends fast? Don't any of us do it. But those that win the lottery, they've talked about they had friends they didn't even know they had. People calling them and wanting to maintain friendships now and wanting to come by and visit them that maybe never visited them before. You know what Christ came to be? He came to be a friend to the friendless, a father to the fatherless, not just to give to those that could give back to Himself, not just I'm going to sacrifice for you because I think it's going to benefit me. The verse that we started out with said, unfeigned love of the brethren. What is an unfeigned love? It's not something that's put on. It's not something that's artificial. It's not something whenever we come together, I know I got to smile. I know I got to smile at you. I know I've got to shake your hand because it looks right. I've noticed in the business world, many times friendships are maintained for expediency. What I mean by that is I've listened, observed, and heard people talk about others and talk about this and run them down here, and then all of a sudden they need something from them. And I've listened to the tone of their voice completely change. And I've heard them call them on the phone. Oh, they'll flatter them up and they'll praise them and they'll be so friendly to them because there's something that I want to get. There's something that I need from you. And I've noticed that, and they call it capital. You build capital. If you think you're going to need something from somebody, then you better go and be real kind to them, be real nice to them, so that you can have that whenever you need it. Oh, the Lord has something so much more for us than that. You see, that's the love of the world. That's what the world sees and the world extends. Yes, I'll have friendships. I'll even give of myself. But many times it's to those that can give back to me. Or as the Scripture says, even for a good man, some men would peradventure die. Maybe for a good man. Oh, he's lived a good cause. He's done so much for me. But yet, Christ's example, to those that spit upon Him, to those of whom He could receive nothing, not because it was a benefit or there was a selfish desire, but He gave of Himself. Isn't that what love is? And He said that the Father has shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. He shed that abroad. I don't think this is something we can manufacture. I don't think this is something that we can just determine, I'm going to love you. Scripture talks about natural affection and those that leave it in the latter days. You know, there's a God-given love. There's a God-given affection, a mother to a child, brother to brother, parents to children, a natural affection and love that is God-given that should be there. Aren't we all brethren? The Lord sheds His love abroad within us. 1 John, it talks about, if any man say that he walks in the light, but he hates his brother, he walks in darkness. He also went so far as to say, not only is the characteristics of others looking on and seeing that you're different, seeing these people really love one another, these people really sacrifice for one another, but he said, by this shall ye know that ye have passed from death unto life. That's a pretty remarkable transformation, isn't it? I can know by that. I've been made a new creature. I've been taken from death unto life. Because why? One reason right here is because I have a love for the brethren. It's been shed abroad in my heart. It's not something that's feigned. It's not a smile that I put on. But it's something that, because of the love of God that is within me. And the more that I love God, you ever seen a triangle or pyramid sometimes? Maybe you've seen it drawn, God's at the top and you're over here and I'm here. And the closer we get to the Lord, the closer we draw to one another. The closer, I believe, the more that we love the Lord, the more that His love is fervent within us, the more fervent our love for one another will be. And I'll echo what I've heard here many times. I love you all. I appreciate the saints. I appreciate so much this congregation and the people of God. Oh, I thank the Lord for it, for the family of God. But I believe the challenge is given to us for a reason. Because you know there's one that is diametrically opposed to what the Church of God stands for. To why God came to shed abroad within our hearts. You know what He'd love to do? It says that one of the things that God hates is He that soweth discord among brethren. He that would come in and give a little word. Did you hear about them? A little schism, a little division, a little wedge in there that would put a little separation, a little doubt, a little question. You know who's the chief of that? You know who's the one, the great architect of all of that? That's trying and design and bent to destroy the unity of God's people. The one that would like to be able to come in even in this congregation and cause the love that we have for one another to start, I still love, but to start growing a little lukewarm. The enemy. The enemy, the one that comes and plants seeds. The one that comes and plants suggestions and doubts and questions in the mind. Jesus went so far there in the scripture we referred to of saying, first you love the Lord with all your heart, then you love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It can be summed up in these two commandments. What else do you need, really? If I love the Lord with all my heart, what am I going to want to do that would displease the Lord? What am I going to want to do that I would need volumes of rules and regulations to tell me, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, I love the Lord with all my heart. There's no room then for anything else. It is a natural compelling, a natural drawing of my heart. Lord, if this is what you want, if you love me, the scripture says, keep my commandments. That's the evidence of it. Sometimes you say maybe, well, Lord, how do I love you more? I know that I love you. And a thing in the scripture that says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I love you. How do I love you more? Lord, I want to give myself. You know, I felt like the Lord told me as I was seeking Him for that one time myself. Do the things that you know to do. You go ahead and give yourself to the things you already know to do. You say you love me? Give yourself to keeping my commandments. Give yourself to that. Obey, follow not only in word or in deed. Let's look at 1 John 3 here. First John, the third chapter. Begin with the 16th verse. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If the love of God dwells within you, isn't that going to be a natural outpouring? In other words, you can't say, Lord, I love you, but I can't stand my brother. Lord, I love you, but I want nothing to do with them. Lord, I love you, but I'm going to walk away from your people. It doesn't work that way. If the Lord sheds His love abroad within us, you know what we're going to love? We're going to love the things the Lord loves. The Lord loveth Zion. The Lord loveth righteousness. And whenever He sheds His love abroad, not narrowly, but He fills my heart with this love. Lord, I love righteousness too. I find myself loving the Word of God. I find myself loving the church of the living God and all that she stands for. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Oh, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm a follower of you. If you do, keep my commandments. If you do the words that I've spoken unto you, keep those things. If you do that, you love the Lord with all your heart, you're going to fulfill the law. But that wasn't the end of it. And you love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's a pretty great love for a lot of people. To love someone else as much as I love me and my way and my comfort and my interest and my getting ahead. You know, if we have this kind of love for God, this kind of love also for one another, you know the things that it's going to take care of? What about gossip? Am I going to want to say something that might be malicious against my brother? If I have a love for one another, that's my brother. Oh, Lord, whenever I pray, I just feel something draw in my heart. Lord, bless my brother today. Bless my sister in the battle that she's in. Does that fit with, hey, did you hear? And saying and casting dispersions and questions and doubts. You know, we could preach a message on gossip. We could preach a message on the tongue and the damage that we could do with our tongue. We could preach a message on having contempt for one another, on jealousy, on envy. Do you know if I have this fervent love for my brother and I see my brother get something or my sister that I don't have, thank the Lord. Oh, I'm glad that's made them happy. I'm glad that satisfied their need. I'm so happy for you. Or if maybe they testify. And it seems like it's a great blessing to everybody else. And everyone else notices, oh, thank the Lord, it's such an encouragement. And I get up and testify and then no real comment. What's that about? Why are people recognizing, well, that was just an ordinary old testimony or prayer. Maybe this kind of thing never happens. And I'm not suggesting it does here. But I believe we know a little bit of how the enemy works. Of how the enemy would try to plant seeds of discord. Would try to cause our love for one another to begin to lose its temperature. Instead, oh Lord, thank you for blessing my brother and sister. Lord, give them a double portion. Pour it out on them, Lord. Next time, would you give them an even better testimony or prayer or exhortation or whatever it is. Lord, that thing that maybe they were recognized for, Lord, bless them in it. I'm supporting them. I'm behind them 100% in my prayers and my thoughts. You know, it even touches modesty. If I have a love for my brother, I can be in a position to say, you can't tell me what to do. It's your problem. It's your problem if you can't control yourself. It's your problem if you look on a body and it causes you to have thoughts that you shouldn't have. That's your problem. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I believe I can do it. You deal with your own. You see how the love that the Lord will give for one another will cover so many of these different things. Lord, help me to have that fervency of love. Lord, I don't want to put a stone of stumbling in my brother or sister's path. I don't want to be the cause of a hindrance to them. I don't want to be in a place. You know, even when it comes to meeting for worship services, first and foremost is for my own soul. Lord, I want, no matter how strong I might think I am, Lord, I need to be fed. I need to be encouraged. I need to be challenged. I need to sit in a place that I can give your Spirit opportunity to convict, to show me places in my life that I need to measure up, that I didn't see. I need to give you that opportunity for my own soul's sake. But you know, it doesn't stop there either. Not only for myself, and I've noticed even among larger congregations than ours, you know, I probably wouldn't be missed if I'm not there. Nobody would probably notice if I don't come to service tonight. You know, it's also about I want to be an encouragement to my brother. I want to be there. There's something about family that just draws you. There's something for me whenever I haven't seen family for a while and I head back for Oklahoma and start getting to about Oklahoma City, Edmond. I start feeling the draw and I want to get home. I want to see my family. Maybe pick up the speed a little bit. I'm anxious to get there. Is that too far-fetched for us to say we have that kind of love one for another? I want to have a fervent love. See that you love one another. Not out of a feigned position. Not out of just a voluntary thing or a voluntary humility, a voluntary love. But out of unfeigned love. To have a fervent love for one another. Lord, I want to see them. I want to see how they're doing. Lord, if you could give me a song, a prayer. Lord, if you could give me a word of encouragement, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to strengthen the feeble knees and hold up the hands that hang down. Let's look a little bit of what that love will do. Exodus, the 17th chapter. This, to me, is such a beautiful picture. Exodus 17. Beginning of verse 10, Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Well, of course, his hands got heavy. He's human. You know, he was in a place here that it didn't say whenever Hur held up his hands, but whenever Moses held up his hands. This was the battle that Moses was in. I have to hold up my hands. I see the effect if they drop down, but I get tired. So do we all. Lord, help us to be able to be there for one another. And I say, Lord, help me, because sometimes I go through life so fast that I stop and say sometimes, Lord, am I even recognizing when my brother's hands are heavy? Lord, am I even stopping long enough to see they're getting weary? They're getting discouraged. They're getting downcast. Lord, help me to be there for my brother. Even though this was Moses' battle, it was their battle too. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear. Because that's what this family of God is about. Your battle is my battle. And my battle is your battle. It's in my best interest, although that's not what I'm serving. It's in my best interest that you win. That you succeed. That you be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. So Lord, help me to help you fight your battles as well. He said because of that, because of some brethren that would come and sit by his side. Sometimes it seems like I don't know what to do, what to say. There's so little that I can do. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to step in. I don't want to impose. Lord, help us to know how to hold each other's arms up. Folks, sometimes it's at home on my knees, holding your arms up, and you mine. But Lord, help us to have that kind of love, diligence, and desire and burden for one another. I'd like to look at one more here, 2 Samuel. Chapter 21. Ishbi-Nabob, who was the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, and smote the Philistine, and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Why wasn't David strong enough to fight him? David had fought a giant before, hadn't he? David had fought a giant and he had slain Goliath, and Goliath lay there on the ground at the hand of David. That the Lord gave the victory into his hands. But now he came down to another place in his life that he met a giant. don't know all the stories surrounding this, but he met a giant. And the giant thought, you're mine. Now I'm going to be able to take. And it sounded like odds were very strong. That David was just about gone. They were worried for him. We're not going to let you go back out into battle because that was way too close. But do you see what happened? There's a brother that stepped in. That came and succored him. That came to his aid and came to his strength. At his time of need, at his time of distress. Lord, help us that we be that help and that we be willing to be helped in our times of need. Whenever I realize, no, I ought to be able to buck up under this. Maybe I need the help of my brother. Maybe I need a little encouragement. You know, the Lord wants us to realize our need for one another. Psalms, I believe, 68 says, the Lord setteth the solitary in families. Known of those that have been of the mindset, I don't need anyone else. I can go off and I can serve the Lord, and I'll tell you that if you're in a place, no saints around, the Lord will keep you. But to say that I don't need anyone, I don't need to be with anybody else, I don't need the fellowship of God's people, I'm going to do it alone. The Lord is not looking for an independent attitude, but for us to realize we need one another. We need the encouragement of one another. We need these times that we can come and gather together and be a help and be an encouragement. And yes, there are some times that I am weak. There are some times that I'm faltering in the battle. And you never know whenever your word of encouragement might be just what I needed to help pick me up. Maybe I don't even come to you and pour out my heart of everything that's wrong. And maybe I shouldn't. But if the Lord will help us to be in a place that I fill my spot, that I have a love for one another, I'm carrying a burden as whenever your brother's in need, as being in the body with them, to feel that pain, to feel that burden. And I believe the Spirit that makes intercession for every one of us knows just how to do that. In our prayer closet, I thank the Lord for a love that goes beyond the love of this world. Goes beyond the love that this world has for one another, that compels selfless sacrifice and giving and loving and caring. Times when maybe we least deserve it. The saints are long-suffering, patient, loving, gentle, because the Lord is. And that's what the Lord wants to shed abroad within every one of us. So I want to encourage us this afternoon, let's keep the fire burning. Let's keep the coals stoked. Let's keep it stirred up. As we go into this year, whatever the enemy would try to bring against us, let us. May the Lord help us that we be knit together in love, strongly bound together by the cords of love, that nothing would be able to break or sunder us from each other. Song number 9, The Bond of Perfectness, it talks about, oh, praise the Lord for love divine that binds us all together. 1,000 cords our hearts entwine forever and forever. Thank the Lord for the love that He shed abroad within our hearts, that we can have a fervent love one for another. You pray for me. Amen.